Over the last several weeks, we have been talking about vision and renewal, about what that is in our lives and how we accomplish and where that leads us to and what the purpose of that is. And and I have some things. These are not just left because I was doing some repair work and stuff, but they're tools and stuff that are there. And we can look at each one of these tools and say, oh, I know what that is. That's a hammer. And we have to decide, what do I use this hammer for? Is the hammer a good thing used to change light bulbs? No, it's not. Yeah, well, Tim's on your mood, okay? That's there, but it's not the tool of choice. Would a screwdriver be the tool of choice to check if the power is on in a light socket? No, that would not be probably a good thing to do, right? You tell the kids, don't stick anything in that outlet either, you know, and stuff like that. But it's a very tool. Now, this tool, you know, could be used to check the power in a light socket. It's a voltmeter type thing and stuff to check the circuits and to stick into an outlet and say, okay, that outlet's powered or not, or it's wired right or not. Each one has a specific use. And when we use it outside of its specific use, there may be times that we can accomplish things that would say, well, okay, you know, I'll use this wrench as a hammer. It's heavy, it's there, it's solid, it's not going to hurt my hand, and I'll drive something in with that. And it might be able to accomplish what you're aiming at the moment. But it's not intended for that. It's to be able to do specific things, to grab the head of a bolt, adjust to its size, and to be able to turn, either to loosen or to tighten those things up. A pair of pliers, you know, for grabbing certain things and doing and holding tight and stuff that's there. You know, I've got another screwdriver here that is different than that. Oh, right, Shannon, thank you for noticing and bringing me that. I appreciate it. Had too much fun singing this morning, I think, and stuff that took its toll on my voice. So this screwdriver will do different things than this screwdriver. Although they're both named the same, they both have a flat surface on them to do and stuff that's there. This one is designed for small little screws with fine adjustments. This one's designed for something else that's really bigger and needs to be tightened or loosened, something that's going to be in there solid and stuff to do. Learning those tools and what they are instead of just saying, well, I've got a tool bag, but I don't know how to use it. But I bought myself tools and stuff. Doesn't do much good if you really don't know what each one is for and how to use it. The things we've been talking about over these last weeks are tools. Tools that we can use as followers of Christ that say, oh, this is how I use these things. This is what's appropriate for this. And it started with our first tool of listening to God. And being able to determine, this is what God's telling me. I want to prioritize these things and make them important in my life and do them. Once again, remember, it's different to say, well, that's important to me, but not do it. And that's important to me and be doing it. And it's, to be able to do it, I have to create space for that transformation, for God to work and for me to do what he wants me to do. Then we talked about having a healthy spiritual rhythm. Now that I've learned these things about listening to God, I need to know that I have to listen to the truth. It's the truth of God's word, not just what somebody says about God's word, and what I may think about God's word, it's what it actually says. And I know that because I'm entering into God's presence. I'm being with him. I'm reflecting on his word, and I'm remembering his promises. Well, God promises he will never leave me. Therefore, even though I feel like I'm all alone, his promise tells me I'm not. I've learned a tool that says, oh, this is how I combat these things. This is how I deal with these things that are there. And then we looked at prayer, knowing that one of the tools that we have as Christians to use is prayer, that I need to go to him. And how I do it is not important, whether I stand or kneel or whether I'm in certain places or not. It doesn't have to be, oh, I need to pray, I need to go to church. You can pray anywhere you are, as you're in your home, as you're driving down the road, as you're at work, all of these different things. You can do this no matter what, but we need to pray to God, not just, oh, well, the universe will take care of it and stuff that is there. It's that we pray to our Father, and it's specific. But when I do that, I have to be yielded to his will to say, God, I need this, but do it my way. We need to say, God, I will do what you ask. I'll yield to your will. And the glory of God should be our first concern, that it's all about him, not about me. Instead of saying, well, God, what are you going to do in my life? It's going to be, God, I'm going to give you glory because of what you're doing in my life. And that's there. And we pray in faith that God will do what he says that he said was going to do. And to know that there are things that make things that make prayer powerful. It changes us. And that is understanding who God is, that he is good, he's loving, he's present, he's faithful. When we believe that things about God, we can pray with confidence and know that he is working. And we can understand persistence, that it's sometimes that God works in our hearts as we continue praying. It's not an instantaneous thing. It's not just a, well, I put my quarter in, I should get something out of it right now and stuff to do. It's about persistence, because persistence builds trust in who God is, and that we need to understand our position in that. Realize that when you trust your life to Christ, you are God's child, and you can come boldly to him with everything in your life, whether it's big or small. Last Sunday, we talked about community, being the body of Christ for each other, for the world around us, that deep kind of authentic friendships that help you grow spiritually and feel truly supported. And this week, we're talking about purpose, realizing how do we use these things that we've been learning in these last 4 weeks to say, this is how God wants me to do this, instead of just taking a hammer approach to everything that comes along, or to try to use the inappropriate tool in the place of doing what God wants us to do. You may remember from Alice in Wonderland, the phrase here that says, from Alice, it says, would you tell me please which way I ought to go from here? That depends a good deal on where you want to go, said the Cheshire Cat. I don't much care. Where? Said Alice. Then it doesn't matter which way you go, said the cat. Our purpose. If you're starting out and you say, I want to go for a drive, well, where do you want to go? I don't know. Then it doesn't matter which direction you go, right? If you say, I want to go to New York City, it matters which road you take. You have a purpose in mind. You were created with a purpose and for a purpose. And stepping into that purpose is one of the greatest journeys that you will ever take. Did you know that God has a purpose for you? It tells us in Scripture in Romans 8:28, for we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. God has a purpose for you. He's called you into that. And when he says this here in this scripture, he's not talking about just the good things of life. Wow, that really worked out well. I'm really pleased with how That turned out. Those are great things that happened to us. But even in the hard things of life, even in things that we go, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. I can't tell what this is for. God still works for the good of us. He doesn't say that everything is good, but he says that he will cause everything to work together for good when we are living in his purpose for us. But even at that knowledge, purpose can feel overwhelming in our lives. We often will ask, does God really have a plan for me? Well, that's for everybody else. And that's for people that are really spiritual. Whatever would keep us away, but God does have a plan for you. Even though you may feel he doesn't, even though you may be struggling with that, even though you don't understand what the plan is doing at the moment, God has a plan for you. Another question that often confuses us is, but what if I don't get what my gifts are? I don't know what those things are. How am I supposed to do anything that if I don't know what my gifts are about? Stuff to do. Or another big one, what if I mess up? Well, that keeps us from doing so many things in our own lives. I was just talking with somebody recently about an employee they had, and that he was coming to them, to the manager, with every decision he was making. Well, what should I do here? And I asked him, I said, so is he afraid to make a decision that he's going to mess up? So I don't know. I never asked him. I never thought about that. It's the thing that keeps us from doing something so often is, well, I don't know if I'll get it right. I don't know if you're like me, but when you were in school, were you ever afraid to raise your hand when they ask a question? I don't know if that's right. I don't want to be seen as doing wrong and not knowing and stuff. It keeps us, that fear of messing up keeps us from following in what God wants us to do. We often feel like we need to have a good reason to do something or for what has happened. Need to have a good reason for what has happened or for what is going on. So we want to know the why of the situation. Why is this happening to me? What's the purpose behind this? That's that why question. This week, with the house fire where the three members burned, one of the students at school, I spoke with the school on Wednesday afternoon, and one of the students had mentioned, I just don't understand what they did to deserve this. They didn't do anything to deserve that. It's not a point of deserving or why in those things, but that's where our minds go. Is I want to know the reason why. What's the purpose behind that? What's the good that's going to come from that? We want to understand the whys of life. Sometimes it's the whys of what's happening in somebody else's life or family. Most of the time it's understanding the whys in our own lives. Forget about everybody else. I just don't understand my own life. After all, they probably deserved what happened to them, right? So many times we see something happen in somebody else's life. They've had some event take place. They lost their job. They did whatever it was. They got a traffic ticket. Well, they deserve that and stuff. It's okay for them to have that. But when it happens to us, well, why is this happening to me? You know, and stuff, we want to know those things there. We can handle the same type of attitude that Job's friends had as they were talking with him. Saying he must have done something wrong and committed a sin, and his problems were all because of his own actions or inactions. We look at those things. That's what his friends were telling him. Well, you know, you must have really done something really bad. Otherwise, you wouldn't have these problems that you're facing. How many times do we want to place the blame on that, on people that are around us? Just like This young boy was saying, well, what did they do to deserve that? Just like Job, he didn't do anything to deserve it. It was just part of what was happening in life. Sometimes we can see the consequences of our decisions and actions very clearly. Driving a nail and hit my thumb with a hammer. Oh, I know what caused that pain. I know what's why the blood is dripping out on the floor right there when that's happening. I can see that full well. And so, sometimes I don't like to realize it was me. It was you distracted me from what I was doing. You know, and stuff. We like to blame somebody else instead of, whoops, I wasn't paying attention in those things, to do those things. But we want to know the why. We can see the decisions clearly. Like someone running a stoplight and getting in an accident. They might have caused a death or a tragic event or an illness that finally took its course. From all of these things that cause us to stop and ask us why, if there is an answer. What is the why of our answer? The question brings so many problems for us because it's the wrong question. We don't need to be asking why so much as what. What can I learn from this? What can I take away from what is going on in my life right now that I can say, this is something I can take away and be better because of? I've learned this because of. Or what should I do because of this? What am I going to do different? I'm going to pay attention when I'm using my hammer more. My spiritual life. Or what can I do better because of this? When we're trying to find our purpose in life, it can leave us feeling frustrated. That's why instead of starting with us as the main topic, we could focus on God. So many of us start with us as the main topic. What should I do? What do I want? What do I feel like? We start with God. Go back to what we remember either earlier. Everything I should do to bring glory to God. How can I bring glory to God instead of how can I bring glory to myself? One of the things I think that will help us gain a perspective on our purposes is to look at God's purposes instead of just what I think about me. First, we start with God's purpose for humanity at all. Why are we here? What are those things that we can say, this is important and why I am a part of, why humanity is here at all? In Isaiah chapter 45, he tells there, it says, for the Lord is God, he created the heavens and the earth and put everything in place. He made the world to be lived in, not to be a place of empty chaos. I am the Lord, he says, and there is no other. God made this world to be lived in by us as humans, to love him, to cherish him, to follow his plans. So many times, though, we have our own plans. But Scripture also tells us about in that in Proverbs 19:21, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. That's saying, and I can make all the plans I want, but it's God that's going to win the ultimate battle. It's going to be his plan. Christian theology identifies God's purpose for humanity through multiple interconnected dimensions. But at its core, humanity exists to fulfill the two great commandments that Jesus talked about when somebody asked him. And he said, you must love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commands. To love God, that's the top thing, and to love each other. This relational purpose reflects God's own nature. He made us to have parents. Adam and Eve were the first parents. Throughout history, nobody has come along that didn't have a parent. And the picture God has is for those parents to create children and to share a relationship with them and enable those children to become capable of loving them in return. God is the parent, created us as his children to be able to be in relationship with him, to love him in return as much as he loves us. Humanity's ability to accomplish this purpose has been deeply compromised and flawed in ways that we cannot repair naturally. Oh, I'll just do better at that. Oh, I'll try harder at that and stuff. Why is that? Because of sin. Because of what Satan did in our lives. And stuff that God addresses this problem through Christ's death and resurrection and the gift of the Holy Spirit that transforms us and changes our hearts and our wills to enable genuine love with him. Beyond this relational dimension, the broader theology perspective emerges, and God's ultimate plan is to be known as Lord by his creation. He wants everybody to know that he is the one that created this, and it draws humanity into God's story. He brings us into the story of what he did, calling us to know him and to love him because of what he's done for us. I want us to also look at God's creation, God's purpose for Christians. Because as those that love him, that realize this is what he calls us for as humans, as humanity, to love him, what makes us a Christian, that we as Christians have a purpose. Ephesians 1, 9 through 10 tells us God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united in Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. It's his plan. He has a plan for us. And what is that? Paul tells us in 2 Timothy what that is. It says, for God saved us and called us to live a holy life. That's part of his plan for us as Christians. He saved us and he's calling us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it. In other words, we didn't do anything that says, hey, look at me, look at how good I am, and stuff. You need to do something for me. We didn't deserve what he did. He said, but because that was his plan. That's what his plan was, to do this, even though we didn't deserve it. From the very beginning of time, his plan was to show his grace through Jesus Christ. He wants to be generous and gracious to us, to give us things that we don't deserve because of his love. He wants to show his love as any parent does to their children, to show their love for us. But what about all those other things of life? What about the suffering and hardship that are out there? How can that be part of God's purpose and plan? Genesis 50, beginning of verse 15, tells us, but now that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers became fearful. Remember what happened in the time frame of Genesis when Joseph was a young man? He made his brothers mad because of the dreams he had, and they got back at him by, they were going to kill him originally, but they decided to sell him into slavery and send him off into Egypt and stuff, and where he stayed there and ended up being Pharaoh's next in charge and saving the nation. because of the famine that was coming. And he even saved his own family back in his homeland because they came to buy food and he sold it to them. And he was watching his brothers and stuff, and finally realized they've changed. Now I'm going to tell them who I am, because they didn't recognize him and stuff that's there. So they all moved to Egypt. Pharaoh welcomed them. And now, 17 years later, I think it was, his father died. His brothers go, oh, no. Dad's gone. What's Joseph going to do? He says, they were fearful. Goes on and says, now Joseph will show his anger and pay us back for all the wrong we did to him. So they sent this message to Joseph. Before your father died, he instructed us to say to you. Can you hear him saying that? Dad said, you know, Dad said you had to let me. Dad said you had to be nice. How many times have we heard our kids say that or said that as we grew it up, you know, and stuff to do? But they say, please forgive your brothers for the great wrong they did to you, for their sin in treating you so cruelly. So we, the servants of the God of your father, beg you to forgive our sin. Basically, they're saying, hey, we promise we'll be nice, we'll play nice, we want you to forgive us, we don't want to have, you know, the consequences of what we did to you earlier, now that Dad's gone. You were nice to us while he was here, but I don't know now what you're going to do. It says, when Joseph received the message, he broke down and wept. Then his brothers came and threw themselves down before Joseph. Look, we are your slaves, they said. But Joseph replied, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. So reassured them, speaking kindly to them. That realization of, even though there had been things taking place that were not good, that were hard. Joseph spent years in prison in Egypt as a slave. He was accused of things he didn't do. He got forgotten. He was away from his family, his father, and the rest of the family that was there. All of those things that were such hardships, suffering that it caused, it still had a purpose. Joseph didn't know what it was. But he said, okay, this is the right idea. This is what God has done. I'm going to do the right thing no matter what. And he did, and it rose to that position of being able to help. What's going on in your life that you can say, man, I don't get this. This isn't good. Right now, it's not. But what's God teaching you through it? What instead of why? We go back to the scripture we read earlier, Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. That brings us to God's purpose for you. You have a purpose according to God. 2 Timothy 1:9 tells us, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which is granted to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. It is God's purpose for us. Not for us to get God's, hey, I've got a purpose in mind. I want you to sign off on this and stuff to do and try to do these things. But it's our purpose that God has in mind. What is it that Jesus says in Matthew 5? He gives us some ideas of our purpose. He starts with, you are the salt of the earth. There's a purpose for that. There's a purpose for salt. There's a purpose for it being on earth. And there's a purpose for us being called the salt of the earth. But then he goes on and says, but what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salted again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot. So we need to follow our purpose, to be worthwhile, to be that salt, to make a change, to add flavor, to preserve all of those things, the characteristics of salt in our own life. Am I exhibiting those characteristics in every circumstance I've put myself into? Or am I continuing to ask the why question? Why do I have to go through this? Well, are you being salt in this situation? Are you being that thing that would transform and preserve the world to give flavor? Jesus also says, you are the light of the world. We are supposed to be light. Jesus called, I'm the light of the world. But he gives us that to pass on to others. This is like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under the basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Being light, we have a purpose to give light to everyone in the house, everyone around us. Don't hide your light. Don't put it away where it's not being used. Don't turn it off. Don't try to say, well, that's not me. Your purpose is to be the light to others. And then he goes on and says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. Those things that we do, our purpose is to let others see them, but once again, not for what we have done, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Our purpose is in this right portion of Scripture right here that Jesus tells you. To be the salt of the earth, to be the light of the world for those around you, to let your good deeds be seen so that others will praise the heaven, our God, to give glory to God in all of these things. If we think about Saul on the road to Damascus, as he had been persecuting Christians and arresting them, some of them were killed. He's going to Damascus to arrest more with authority from the leaders to do that. And as he goes, he is met with a bright light that knocks him to his knees, and he can't see anything else. And he says, who are you, Lord? And the Lord replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get to your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness. We think, well, that sounds like a purpose. Why is he given this heathen that is persecuting his followers a purpose? Because he has a purpose for us all. And stuff that it is there. He says, I've called you and appeared to you and appoint you as my servant and witness. Still applies to us today. We are to be his servant and witness. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He says, tell people what you've seen, that you have seen me. Tell them what I will show you in the future, and I will rescue you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I am sending you to the Gentiles. My purpose. If I ask somebody to go to the store, I said, would you go to the store? Sure, I'll go to the store. What do you want? I don't know, just go to the store. Not much of a clear purpose, is it? But he says, I'm sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes, giving light to them, so they may turn from the darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God. The purpose that is there, that is ours today. That's the part of the salt and light that he tells us earlier. So that others will come to know. This is then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be a place, will be given a place among God's people or set apart by me in faith. Appointed you as servant and witness to open the eyes of the Gentiles so they can return from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Purpose for us as Christians has not changed. We so often want to say, well, I don't know my purpose. Well, yeah, you do. It's right here. This is the purpose. How it looks, well, you know, I'm not a hammer. I can't do that. Well, I'm not a pair of pliers. I can't do that. You can, with the skills and gifts that God has given you, to accomplish those specific things. To do those things. Over these past 5 years, five weeks, we've talked about listening to God and gain understanding into having a healthy spiritual rhythm and learn more about prayer and discovered that being in community with each other is God's idea and plan. And now about God's purposes. But more importantly, we've learned that God has been speaking. Did I jump a bunch here? Where did we go? Purpose, use, all on the road to Damascus. Okay, yeah, I did. I skipped a whole page. Sorry about that. So he says, for David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, even David realized he had served his purpose. Did the actions that he did look like yours or mine? No. But it was still the purpose of God to lead people to who God really was, to worship him, and to give him glory. How we do that individually is still up to us with our gifts that are there. To trust in him, because that's part of God's purpose for the church, the body of Christ, everybody in his service. Ephesians, Paul tells us, glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through generations, all generations, forever and ever. To bring glory to God in the church through Jesus Christ in all generations. Proverbs 1:4 says, these are the proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. So how do we accomplish these purposes of God? I want to encourage you. God has gifted every believer with spiritual gifts to do your individual work, to serve his purpose. It's not just random. Peter tells us God has given each of you a gift. Use them well to serve one another. We have gifts that God gives us to take and to use because of what he is doing in our lives. To be the right tool, we are not all hammers. We are not all screwdrivers. We are not all wrenches or hacksaws. But a good toolbox accomplishes the job that's there. We need to be willing to say, I'll play my part. I'll do the job created God created me for. Instead of saying, how come they get to do that? How come they get to be the one to drive the nail? The hammer can be used, a great thing for driving nails in. Does not work really well at all to put a piece of paper back in the stack of papers when you're trying to drive the paper in with a hammer. It doesn't work for that. Instead, it's what he talked about being the body of Christ, that every part of the body has a purpose. How do we discover our gifts of what God wants us to do? I want you to take a minute, and you'll get it in an email this week if you signed up for the New Year Challenge. If not, take a little note about what that website is, spiritualgiftstest.com. And you can just take 10 minutes and take a spiritual gifts test to give you an idea of, oh, yeah, these are the things that God has enabled me to do well. And now this is how I can use them and stuff to do that. And I can't wait to hear what you discover about your gifts. Because, and now we'll get to this again, because over the last 5 weeks, we've talked about listening to God and gained in that insight into having that healthy spiritual rhythm that takes place. And we learned about prayer and what that means, and discovered that being in community with each other is God's idea and plan. Now about his purposes. But once again, what we're learning here is that God has been speaking to us. So the question is, what has God been showing you? What is God doing in your life through these times that we say, oh, this is what God's showing me right now? What step keeps coming to mind? What is it that, oh yeah, this is revisited. This keeps happening. This situation keeps coming up. This scripture keeps reminding me of what I need to do. All of these things. What is God teaching you through this? And what is the thing God has placed in front of you for this next year? In this vision, as we look ahead, where is God asking you to be the tool to use? Sometimes God's direction feels risky. Sometimes it doesn't fully make sense. Go, I don't understand this. But remember, vision is made complete through obedience. We have to obey even when we don't understand. To do the things that are before us because, okay, I don't get this, God, but you asked, I'll do it. Instead of always being like our own kids that say, but why do I have to clean my room? But why do I have to put the toys away? But why? We can be so like little kids sometimes in God's eyes. And just do what you're told. I have a plan for it. There's a purpose behind it if you will obey me. You don't have to see the whole picture or where the end takes you down the path. I don't have to have the answer to why. Just take the next step. Whether God is calling you to start something or to stop something or to build something or to surrender something. Obey what he puts in front of you, because obedience leads to blessing. Because obedience produces clarity. And because obedience moves you into purpose. Will you walk boldly with me into this new year, trusting God? It's easy to sing the song, I trust in God. little bit harder to live it out there on the street, isn't it? It takes obedience. God, I trust you, even though I don't see it right now. I will do it. Obey God and watch what he will do with your yes. I will do that, God. Trust him. Let him take your life and lead you and bless you into new things in this coming year that you did not imagine could happen at all. Let God take control. Would you join me in standing as we pray? Father, we thank you for your blessings, for what you do, how you lead and guide us. Help us to trust you more and to be willing to let your purpose be seen in our lives. Give us wisdom and insight to understand how you have gifted us to accomplish your purpose. We waste so much time trying to find our purpose, to find ourselves, when all we need to do is trust you and what you've already done in us with the gifts that you've given us. Lead and guide us into what you would have this year as we trust you to lead our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.